Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 22. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Today on the show, we have two guests with us, Abby Quinn and Kristen Baith. Abby is from Hickory, North Carolina, and has SMA type 3, and she and Kristen have been friends since childhood. Together, they run an inclusive fashion line for people with disabilities, and they are both active members of the SMA community. Abby, Kristen, thank you for both joining us.
Thanks, Kevin, for having us.
We're very happy to be here.
For sure. This will be a lot of fun. And we'll be talking about their fashion line and also our experiences together at the Care SMA conferences. So just to start off, I wanted to start with a question for Abby. So, Abby, could you tell our listeners just a little bit about your background and when you were diagnosed with SMA?
Yeah, of course. So I was diagnosed when I was about 2.5. For a long time before that diagnosis, my mom knew that something was going on. I proceeded to look like a lazy baby. I wasn't reaching milestones like crawling or walking and things like that. And I'm actually have an older sister. And so she just realized, you know, me compared to her were two very different children. And she just started asking questions. She went to the pediatrician. She was going to all these places. But unfortunately, at that time, a blood test was not just the normal way to get genetic testing. Genetic testing was still very, very new. They were just finding out, you know, DNA and things like that. So we had to jump through hoops. It was definitely a long time until we got a definite diagnosis. And then when I did, they finally sent me to Duke. I had a muscle biopsy. And then from that muscle biopsy, they confirmed that I did have SMA type 3. So I walked until I was about 7 years old, and I actually had foot corrective surgery because my foot was turning in. But whenever I did walk when I was a child, I fell a lot. I couldn't walk very long distances and things like that. And then over time, it just progressed. And since then, I've used a wheelchair for my mobility to get around and things like that.
And when you started losing the inability to walk, did you start off with a manual chair, or did you go straight to an electrical one?
It was just a manual chair at first. I was in a manual chair until I was about 12. And then whenever I was 12, I had spinal fusion surgery. And so for my spinal fusion, I just became a lot more weak just from the surgery and how intense it was and everything else. And so from then, I was like mainly just in my electric chair. And a lot of things, I kind of realized that like at school, I was struggling like in my manual chair to push myself around and things like that. And so we transitioned into my electric chair. And honestly, it was like a blessing. A whole entire new world opened up for me, being able to just have freedom to be in a chair that gets me wherever I want to go. And so, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting because I want because I have type 2, so I'm always interested in learning, you know, the different because type 3 especially, they're like different levels to it, so I'm always interested in seeing kind of like what the progression was like for you. So
I've met a lot of people who walked until they were 14 or walked until they were 5, or you know, it's just there's such a huge sliding scale of each, I feel like, type, that it's kind of interesting to hear everyone's backstory.
Absolutely. Well, and on that note, so Kristen, I wanted to ask you about your friendship with Abby. So back when I did a written interview with both of you a few months ago, and for our listeners, I will link that interview in this podcast. You mentioned that you two became closer friends when you moved to Chapel Hill, and you became coworkers and closer friends than before. And this is when you started to have conversations about SMA. So could you talk about what those conversations were like and what you came to learn about SMA through your friendship with Abby?
Yeah, and it just kind of as a quick backstory, as you mentioned, me and Abby have been friends for quite a long time. Our families lived close to each other. We're really, really close, did events together. And so I knew Abby in that way. But we are, you know, several years apart. And when I moved to Chapel Hill and we became coworkers, actually working and living in the same apartment complex, we became a lot closer. And so, you know, Abby, you know, she can probably touch on this as well, but I would say has an awesome family and, you know, really never missed a beat in her life. And so really Abby's wheelchair and her disability, even out before, it never wasn't, you know, you didn't really think about it much. It wasn't talked about. We just all we, you know, Abby did everything we all did, and that's really it. And when we became coworkers and became a lot closer, hanging out daily, you know, I started to, you know, wonder a lot more, like most people may, about, you know, what Abby goes through and what her day is like. And, you know, we'd be hanging out until, you know, late at night, and Abby would leave. And at first I never really thought about it. And I might start to kind of consider, oh, well, you know, kind of just think about, well, is she getting in bed and different things like that. And I just started to, you know, open up that dialogue. And Abby's just such an awesome person to be really opening to talk about things. And, you know, I maybe sometimes, you know, don't want to say the wrong thing or whatever. And Abby is just the best person to speak to about things, because she, as you can tell, loves to speak about it. So that's when I started to just ask her, you know, about the community, maybe if she had met others. And I think that due to me kind of doing some research, I started to get ads, or I just would, you know, was popped up this Cure SMA conference. And I saw that there is a time when everybody comes together every year. And this year was happening in Disney World, where all the families with SMA or everyone who can make it come together, and they talk and learn and share and connect. And that sounds awesome to me. And I was just asking Abby if she had ever been involved, and, you know, she knew about it, but not much. And we both started learning some, and really kind of connecting even with doctors here in the Duke area to help Abby out during certain times when she was going through some other challenges. It was really just about an interest and wanting to learn more. And, you know, you can probably speak on this just as much as I can, but I've never met anyone in the SMA community who isn't welcoming and open and honest and genuine. And it's just made me want to get more involved as much as possible.
Right. And that actually leads perfectly into my next question, because I was going to say, I met y'all, and I have to say y'all at least once in this podcast, because we're all from North Carolina. But I met you guys at the Cure SMA conference in Disney World, which was the 2017 conference. So you mentioned that, you know, that you'd done the research and started seeing ads about Cure SMA. And then when you decided you were going to go to the conference, what was that process like of, A, getting there, and then just the overall experience? And this is questions for both of you, so whoever wants to answer first.
Well, it's kind of funny. Kristen saw the Cure SMA thing, and she's like, why have you never told me there's a conference? And I'm like, I mean, I've just, unfortunately, like, growing up, like, I always got the Cure SMA, and, like, even before Cure SMA was Cure SMA, I got the Families of SMA, like, you know, yearly or monthly magazine and things like that, and I would always look through it. And, like, I love to see it and everything else, but it just never worked out really with, like, with my family and vacations or, like, certain timing to ever go to an actual conference. And so she's like, you're graduating college. Like, it's in Disneyland. Like, it's in Florida. This is a perfect opportunity for you to go to, like, really open our eyes to everything. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I should treat myself. We should do this. Like, why not? I've honestly, before that trip, have never been on a solo trip on a plane with anyone other than my family, immediate family. So I was kind of nervous, but also Kristen is so awesome that she's just like, it's a thing. Like, we're going to go. It's just a thing. So I was like, okay, it's a thing then.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought, you know, anything about it. Once I saw it, it was, we were going, that was it. And our friends and family really, really rallied behind us. You know, once we started talking about it, we decided we were going, you know, we kind of figured out how much it was going to cost to get us down there, how much we would need for the conference. And we really just started asking, you know, telling people about it, and people started donating, you know, funds to us and asking how they can get involved. And our first trip was actually totally fundraised just by our friends and family, who knew how much this would mean and what Abby would gain from this, and really what I would too, which I don't even think I knew that.
Right.
And it was funny, right before the conference, I had this conversation with Kristen kind of about, I was like, Kristen, I just want you to, like, know that whenever we go to this conference, you're going to see a variety of people.
Mm-hmm.
SMA is a beautiful thing where it's no one face, no one person, no one type. It's, you know, an array of different machines or abilities or things like that. And so, you know, I was like, I don't want you to be overwhelmed, but, like, you're going to see a lot of different people, because I knew that I was going to see a lot of different people. I hadn't even really gotten to know a lot of people with SMA. And so I was like, this is a forewarning for me and you, like, this is going to be a whole new experience within itself.
Absolutely. And well, Kristen, what was that like for you, kind of seeing the different types, from ranging from, you know, people with SMA who are still walking to, you know, people with type one who are, you know, on ventilators and all that?
It's definitely, like Abby said, there is just so many different, SMA is not the same. And I think that how I mentioned previously, growing up with Abby, you know, it's just, you didn't even think about it. And I guess it, along with that was, you know, once I got to know what her disease was and what SMA was, Abby was SMA to me, and that, you know, she kind of represented what the disease was. And so it definitely was interesting and an awesome opportunity to get to understand really the complexities of the disease. And it really kind of changed the game for me in terms of the type of advocating and realizing the need and, you know, the importance of early diagnosis. And it really just, it just helped bring everything into perspective. And it honestly grew, you know, helped me grow even closer to Abby and understand, you know, what her life was like when she was younger. You know, and when she was speaking about going from the stages of walking to her manual chair. And, you know, at the conference, we've met people, and it's nice now after we've been to two now, three next year, you know, you get to kind of check in with people's progress and have updates every year. And kind of now with social media, you can follow along with families throughout the year, and just really see what they're up to. And it's something I can't even really explain. It's a passion that I feel grateful to have at 27. So it's been awesome.
Absolutely. Well, and on that note, you know, I met you guys at the conference, and then a few months later, when we saw each other again at the Raleigh fundraiser, that's when you mentioned to me the idea that you were working to start an inclusive fashion line for people with disabilities. So what can you talk about the genesis of that idea and just what the process has been like since then? And again, this question is for both of you.
Yeah. I think that the conference was very eye-opening for both of us, and that, like, kind of put that seed in Kristen's head. We were actually out shopping for interview clothes, and I was just having trouble finding trouser pants that fit nice, that looked professional, that, like, also was comfortable for me sitting in my chair, and, like, I just was struggling. And Kristen was like, Abby, this is, like, this should not be a thing. Like, you should not go to a store or go out to go buy a piece of clothing and be frustrated because it's not made for your body. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's okay. It's fine. You know, I just deal with it like every other person. You just kind of get to the point where it's like, oh, I'll just adapt. It'll be fine. It might inconvenience me or not be the most comfortable thing, but it is what it is. And she was like, no, it's not. That's not the thing. Like, you deserve better. All these amazing people I've met deserve better. And I'm like, you're right, Kristen. And she was like, are there like adaptive clothing lines? Like, is this a thing? She's like, I don't want to overstep. Like, I'm not really sure. But Kristen, I'll let you take away the rest of the story.
Yeah. And I mean, you're exactly right. It was, you know, we've been friends for so long, and, you know, you always seem to, if you've ever seen Abby or known Abby, everyone knows she's always fashionable. She's always just put together and looks great. And when we went shopping, it just, things weren't working out. And I realized, you know, Abby's probably spent hours, you know, perfecting the clothes that look and feel great in her closet. And these are it was just so, hard for me to go through that experience without thinking that something needs to be done. And, you know, neither one of us have a background in production of clothes. It definitely wasn't something that we've done before. We both are interested in fashion, but, you know, I think I just knew that something had to be done. And I started doing some research on what's out there. And I definitely want to note there are things out there, and there are people out there making moves right now, and definitely inspiring us on the way too. We've met with a lady at Parsons, who her name's Grace. She's working for Open Style Lab, and they're doing some awesome tech wearables. And there is stuff out there, but we really realize that there are some things that need to be done. And we've realized one of the biggest items is jeans. Just like, you know, with the trousers, bottoms seem to be some of the hardest things to find for a seated body that actually fit and look good. And jeans happens to be one of the items that, you know, everyone wants to wear. They're an American staple. They're a classic. And it's something that once we started going through this process, a lot of people let us know. And Abby even herself gave feedback that, you know, they just either wear jeans very infrequently or have never worn them at all. And, you know, that definitely kind of stood to me. And, you know, I remember Abby kind of letting me know, you know, some people don't always have the option of what they get to wear. Sometimes their caretakers just put on what is comfortable and what's, you know, most convenient for them. And that's also a factor we're thinking about when we're, you know, wanting to create our line is, you know, not just something that's also easy for the user and also for the caretaker as well. But, you know, this line, and, you know, we've mentioned the jeans, but it's definitely just the beginning. And, you know, Abby and I have already, you know, what feels like a million other pieces and products of how we can make things more inclusive for people in the world of fashion and beyond. But it's definitely a learning, I guess, a learning process, and we're loving it, and we're getting so much feedback along the way. And just trying to get our jeans out there, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, and it's interesting, Abby, what you said about, you know, Kristen having to kind of push you to do this, because I can totally relate. I think a lot of people that's me and other disabilities, you know, we put up with a lot and we're just used to it. And it usually takes either friends or family to, you know, call out something that, hey, this is not right. This something needs to be done here, and to push us to do it. So it's really interesting you said that. But yeah, it's really cool. And Kristen, on that note too, of like, you know, your company's future plans. So first off, could you both talk about, you know, you came up with the, you know, term inclusive for your fashion line. So could you talk about kind of what that means in the larger sense for people with disabilities? And just, you know, when it comes to all forms of accessibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead, Abby.
Go ahead, Kristen. Honestly, this is just the beginning for me. I think that it, like we said, it just kind of opens my eyes of like, I'm not the only person. I don't have the only single disability. There are so many people out there. I mean, people with disabilities is the largest minority, but the most frequently pushed away or forgotten about in things of clothing, technology, I mean, everything. And it's kind of like, all of a sudden now there's this kick, but like, having things truly, truly inclusive, like that's what we want. Like things that aren't just like, oh, it's an afterthought that we put this together, things like that. This is actual like made and manufactured and thought about and processed and like meticulously put together for someone to actually better themselves, to better their lives, to actually create something so they can go out and feel confident and feel great about themselves. No matter if it's a limb deficiency, no matter if it's, you know, using canes to walk, no matter if it's having braces, no matter if it's having to use an electric wheelchair or a manual wheelchair or anything, there are so many things out there that, you know, could be happening. And like we were saying, and kind of like Kristen saying, this is a very, very small thing to a huger idea that we have that we want to see, you know, in the future of like 10 to 15 years of this being, you know, you can just go online and shop for what type of you might have or might be looking for to help you with your disability, whether it be certain snaps, whether it be that you need, you know, have one leg pant and not have the other, or whether it be, you know, just figuring out materials that help, just a lot of things that are going into this. And like, I think truly being inclusive, truly encompassing people's ability and uniqueness is really what we want to do.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I couldn't have said it better, Abby. And really, I think that's something that comes to my mind a lot when I think of inclusion and really where we're going to go with this is a lot about the community that we're creating along the way. This is just a beginning for us, and we've started an Instagram account called Abby and KB, where we really just document our lives and our process along this journey. And it's becoming a community where people can relate and they can feel comfortable and confident. And that's really a lot of what we're going for. Clothes is just one thing. I mean, it does represent a lot about someone, their personality. I mean, we both love fashion and love to use it to express ourselves. And that's definitely why we're going about it this way. But there's just so many different doors that can be opened when there's a community of accepting people. And that's just something that's really important to me along the way, and all of our friends that we've met at the conferences and at different events we go to. I'm just, I see their face, and I'm just hoping to create a community where they can fully engage and feel fully participant.
Absolutely. Well, and of course I wish you the best on that. And so shifting gears just a bit, Abby, I did want to ask you a little bit about your Spinraza treatments. So you started receiving this treatment earlier this year. What has the process been like for you, and what changes have you noticed since starting your injections?
Yeah, Spinraza has been an amazing, crazy, beautiful, I mean, there's so many different adjectives to even say, and honestly, at times I'm like lost for words, because I mean, for 20 plus years of my life, I was told there's no cure. There's no treatment. There's nothing you can do. And it's kind of like how I felt like, okay, I need to be content. Like, I love who I am. I love that I have SMA. I love my body. But like, now what is this treatment going to do for me? Like, what's the next steps? What's all happening? And it's been great. It's honestly been such an amazing thing that I've been so lucky and blessed to be a part of. And my treatments have been going awesome. I felt a lot like now I'm on dose number 6. So I just had my 6th dose a few weeks ago right before Thanksgiving. And I mean, I could have, after dose 3, people were calling me out like, Abby, you're sitting there holding this glass, or you're like so sat up right now, or you're like so much more energetic, or you're like just look so strong. And I'm like, oh, okay, do I really think that? And I think that like finally after my 4th dose, after my loading dose, I was like, no, like I need to accept this, like this thing, like my body is changing in ways I never thought was possible, and like my arms have strength that I haven't had in a long time. And it's just been simple things, me being able to open up a water bottle. I haven't been able to unscrew a water bottle cap in years. So the first time I did it, I was literally like, what just happened? Like, this is insane to me. And I think the little things are honestly the sweetest things for me, whether it be that I could sit in my chair longer, feel better, or get a cold and not feel better. It's just a win to me. I mean, being able to stop this progression of this disease, being able to feel a little bit stronger, has been awesome. So I couldn't ask for anything better.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're totally right in that it is, I would say, a whirlwind of emotions. And, you and I have both discussed our injections in more detail. And yeah, there are definite struggles that come with them. There are sometimes setbacks, but definite challenges, along the way. But I think you and I both absolutely, we're seeing the little changes have the biggest impact on us. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I think I definitely kept an open mind during everything. I think that was the biggest thing of like, I just need to have an open mind for everything.
Right.
Whether it be after an injection, I feel sick or this, like, I just need to stay open-minded about this whole entire thing.
Absolutely. And I think that's great advice for other people that's SMA who may be hesitant about starting the process, or they're just getting into it or whatever. Yeah, that's great advice. And on that note, and just kind of wrapping up, I wanted to talk with both of you just a little bit about your lives kind of outside your fashion line, and then after that, what your future plans are for the company, which we kind of touched on earlier too, but just a little bit about kind of your daily lives outside the fashion line. So Abby, I'll start with you. Kind of like, what does your daily life look like?
So right now I'm actually working at a catering company, and my exact title is kind of hard to place. I'm kind of the executive assistant slash office manager slash anything in between. But it's been honestly really, really great. I've been able to do a lot with that, learn a lot, and actually the person is actually a woman business owner in the community who's owned this business for 30 plus years. And just that experience within itself has given me just such an amazing time there. Like, she has just been awesome with, you know, even the line and everything else, of just seeing that she is a woman in this community that I'm in, and she's been thriving in her business for 30 plus years, definitely pushed me and pushed me as a businesswoman, has pushed me to like want to do more. But I do my job. I come home, me and my mom are roommates right now. Love on my little nephew, you know, just different things like that, but nothing too crazy right now with going on in my life.
Very cool. And Kristen?
Yeah, so I got, you know, a few things going on recently, engaged, so just kind of getting started planning a wedding, which I hadn't thought about much at all before. So me and fiance Joey are both just trying to figure things out, so that'll be interesting and exciting. But I also, as mentioned, I do still work in the apartment industry since my sophomore year in college. So since 2011, I've been working in student housing. So I cater towards college students in off-campus housing. So I do that by day, and it's been really awesome. It's an awesome opportunity to, you know, speak to, you know, the young kids. And I say that, and I'm 27, so I'm not that much older, but they definitely are always keeping me informed in what's going on in the technology and the new apps. And then, yeah, and then really just kind of getting back into, with the holidays, I feel like between Thanksgiving and Christmas, things kind of get so off of schedule. But we are, I know that you know, mentioned the line. I know right now, as we say, we're just in the beginning, but we are making strides to getting the actual product made. We're actually meeting with a pattern maker next month to fit with Abby and get our sample made so that we can start getting a physical product and get it out there for everyone to buy. So that's kind of where we're at with the most immediate plan. I also want to throw out there for all the listeners and you, Kevin, that we will be having a local event coming. We're still kind of in the works of planning that and getting more details. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be having a local inclusive meeting here in the near future.
Very cool. That's exciting. Well, and where, on that note, where can they find you? I know you mentioned your Instagram page. Where else can they find you on social media to learn more about your company and contact both of you?
Yeah, we're on Instagram and Facebook right now. Our Instagram handle is Abby and KB. That's ABBY and KB. And that's also on Facebook as well. We also have a landing page with keeping all of our details for our inclusive brand, which is inclusivebrands.co. So that'll be where we, you know, have updates and where our first products will be sold.
Very cool. Well, for our listeners out there, definitely check those pages out. We will provide links in this podcast. And also, just wanted to throw out a little fun fact about Abby and Kristen. So Abby went to the University of North Carolina, and Kristen went to my alma mater, North Carolina State University, and they can still be friends. So this is a nice, yes, right? You're a little outnumbered here, Abby, but hey, we can all be friends, and we went to rival schools. So very cool.
I still love you guys in your red.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, Abby, Kristen, I just want to thank both of you again for coming on today and sharing your story. This was great.
Awesome. Thank you for inviting us. I love listening to your show. You definitely keep me super up to date with SMA News today. So thank you for this opportunity. I couldn't have been more excited today.
Oh, thank you. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kevin. My mom is going to probably be most proud of this podcast because she's so obsessed with your articles. So I can't wait for her to hear me be interviewed by you. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Very cool. It's always nice to have fans. So very That's cool. Right. So for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. All episodes are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, and here on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also check out our YouTube channel and engage with us directly through our forums page. Be sure to follow us for daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks for listening, and take care.